Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name to each one. It's good to see everyone here. So, for an introduction, I'd like you to come with me to a brook where a young man is selecting five smooth stones. Saul had given David his armor and sword, but he laid them aside. He said, I haven't proven these. I don't know these tools. I'm not sure if they're going to work for me. So he laid those aside. But he did know how to use his stones, and he knew how to use his sling. And he had done this many times before, and so he went and selected five stones. He was doing this while Israel was afraid. Israel, it says they were afraid. We had men of war out there. They were at war with the Philistines, and they were afraid. And why was Israel afraid? Why were they afraid? Israel was being held back from victory. Why? Because every day, this great big giant would come walking out, and he's mocking them, and he's laughing at them, and he's defying them, and he's like, I'm going to feed you guys to the birds. You know, he's big, and his spear is so big. It's 12 and a half foot long. It's like 33 pounds, and it's just striking fear into people's hearts. These men who were trained warriors, this was not the first battle. They were out there, and they see this big guy come walking out, and they're going back. They're like, oh, this is scary. Fear in their heart. Every day he did this. He was defying the army of God. But one day David happened to be there, and he heard this great big giant come out and say all these things. And he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? I'd like to read in 1 Samuel 17, beginning in verse 45. This is in the New King James Version. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. So the stone that David selected, it was just a stone. It was a stone. He didn't go. There was no special stone. He went there to the brook, and he selected a stone probably like he had done many days in other times. Thank you. It was a stone that David knew would would fly straight. It was something he had done many times, selected a stone to hit the target. It wasn't a special stone. It was more than just a stone. Why? It was because David was in agreement with God. David had aligned his life with God. And because he was in agreement with God, his life was in line with God, the God of heaven and earth was behind the stone. And the stone could do its job. I'd like to, for a title, is Pull Down the Strongholds. I'd like to talk about the warfare that each one of us is in who has been born again, who has given our life to Christ. You can turn to 2 Corinthians 10 and beginning in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And so I'd like to read through this again and bring in some of the words that the Greek words, the meanings of the Greek words. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly. This isn't a fleshly battle. We're talking about a spiritual battle. Not carnal or fleshly, but mighty, which means powerful, capable, possible in God for pulling down or demolishing, destroying strongholds, fortified places or castles, casting down or demolishing arguments, which are computations, reasonings, thoughts, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge or the science of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience, which means attentive hearkening, compliance, submission of Christ, and being ready or fit and prepared to punish all disobedience or inattention when your obedience is fulfilled. He tells us here, number one, the spiritual battle must be fought with God's weapons and not weapons of the flesh. And you can turn to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 6. Here, Paul gives us some tools he was using in the battle. He says he was winning his battle. He was winning the battle by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. This is how we fight this battle, the spiritual battle. First Peter 4, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Here he tells us, it brings this battle, and it says how it's we need to have our mind in the right place. To fight this battle, we need to have our mind prepared. He says, arm yourselves with this mind of Christ. Arm yourselves with the same mind that Christ had. As I said, when we're born again, we are entering a spiritual battle. And we are talking about how there are workers of darkness. There are demons. And this battle is for real. Some people want to deny that there really is this battle. But it's for real. There are demons working behind the scenes. They are trying to push people and or move them as a pawn to make them do wrong things, to have them do something that will make you react in a wrong way. And it's all that darkness is driven by the powers of darkness. We are in a battle. Satan is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Brother Darrell had shared a message here about fighting the battle and about the armor. And so in Ephesians 6, I believe I'll just quickly read over those verses. He had talked in detail about the different parts of our armor. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So there he talks about just all the different parts of the armor and how we must have faith. We need the word of God. It's our sword. It's how we fight this battle. I'd like to look for the second point where he says it's for pulling down strongholds. Pulling down strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. When I think about strongholds, what is a stronghold? How can we picture a stronghold? My mind goes to the castles. In the Middle Ages, there were lords or these kings who had, they built castles and they controlled an area. And for safety, they built a stronghold, a castle. And many times it was anchored into a big rock that was, you know, sticking out of the mountain somewhere, this massive rock. And they just built on that. Why? Because they wanted something so solid, no one could dig under the wall. They built high walls so you couldn't come over the wall. They were trying to make a stronghold. And they built, there was many of them built in that time. Big walls, big stones, high walls, up on high mountains, like a steep places. They weren't easy to overcome. And here it says, we have weapons that are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. To demolish them, destroy them, pull them down. We can look in the Old Testament and there is a pattern of when the people would walk away from God and they would allow idols. They would bring in idols and they would build high places of worship and they would lose God's blessing. Why? Because God said, I don't want any of this. I want you to worship me, not an idol. But they would bring in the idols, and they would be worshiping these wrong things, giving their worship to these idols instead of to God. And sometimes we would see how a king following in Israel would be a king who obeyed God. And he would go through the land and he would take down the idols. He would tear down the idols. He would break them down. He would burn these high places to clean out the idols, to get rid of these places. It was against God. So what are these strongholds? What could these strongholds be in our lives? An idol is something that I love or worship. I give worship to or esteem more than God. Something I'm allowing to steal the worship of my heart away from God. Worship that was designed to go to God. And this thing is stealing it away. Let's look into our lives. What do we have? Is there any idols in my heart, in my life? Is there something that is stealing away the worship that should be for God? Fleshly desires can be a stronghold. Not taking God serious when he says, we must die to the flesh. Is there a fleshly giant that I'm letting live in my life that God is against, but am I in agreement as David against that giant? Am I in agreement that this giant needs to die? Fleshly desires can be a stronghold. Possessions can be a stronghold. Think of the rich ruler who walked away sorrowful because his security was in possessions instead of in God. It was a stronghold. Bitterness could be a stronghold in our life. Hebrews 12:15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Bitterness can be a stronghold in my life. I've seen bitterness where people allowed it in their heart. And it crippled them. It can totally cripple a person if we allow that stronghold of bitterness in our life. It will damage you. Not maybe, it will. Hatred. Are we allowing a giant of hatred to cripple me? To put us back in fear? Hatred. You know, if we allow that stronghold of hatred, it will, that thing will just be there, and we see that person, and it's just going to come up into our heart every time, and it will bind us up. It will bind us up. It could be a stronghold.
A stronghold means that they have the ability to torment a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it controls people. Fear could be a stronghold. Allowing fear to control us. Maybe it's fear, a stronghold of fear where I'm fearful to just cast myself completely on God because I'm afraid of what he would ask me to do. You know, we can be fearful of that. We can have fear because we're afraid. What might God ask me to do if I'm just completely surrendered to him? We could fear that. And it will control us. Or maybe we control other people because we're afraid to just trust, to just rest in God and say, you know what? God's going to take care of me. We have weapons that can pull down through God, mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. These are not too big for God. Romans 8, 5. You can turn there. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And to me, this is a picture of getting in a line, aligned with God. Getting aligned with God, getting in agreement with him. That old giant has to go. That it can't live here anymore. The stronghold can't be here because this is God's kingdom. My life is for God, and I'm not going to allow this thing to be here because it's against God. It's getting in agreement with God. And then fight that battle with God, with God's help, with his weapons. The third point, he says, for casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Against God. Against what we know of God. Genesis 3:6, we talked about that, how the serpent was right there And what did he do? He says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So here they are, just going against what God said, against God. How'd they get here? Because the devil came and he set up, he said, I got a plan that's better. I can make you wiser. It was against God. And they believed this thing and they bought right into it. But it was against God. Romans 1, verse 21 says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So here they knew God, people who knew God, but they didn't glorify him as God. They weren't worshiping him. They weren't giving God the glory, but became futile or vain in their own thoughts, their own ways. And they said, this is better. And they set it up against God. It was against God. Their ideas, their ways. And they became fools. In Daniel 5, we have the story of Belshazzar. And I'll just read here, verse 23. This is the message. So he's there having this party, and Belshazzar took vessels and tools, instruments that were made for God. They were God's things. And he was having a grand old party with them for himself, for nobody but himself and his wicked people. And then he sees God's finger writing on the wall, and he becomes very concerned what was being written. And here was a message in Daniel 5:23 to Belshazzar. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know, and the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. And that night the kingdom was taken. He was killed. Belshazzar was killed. But he lifted himself up against God. Against God. And he just totally put aside thinking about God, the God of heaven, the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways. He didn't glorify him. It was against God. God wants to help us cast down all arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Titus 3, verse 3, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Jesus wants to wash us. He wants to renew us. He wants to give us a new mind. He wants to take away those thoughts, everything that is exalting itself against God, everything in my life that's against him. He wants to take it away that we can have a renewed heart. And then, fourth point, it says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How many times does the path away from God begin in our thoughts? Isn't it through our thoughts? Isn't it in our mind where the devil so often wants to come and he wants to put a thought? And he wants to try to shoot in that wrong thought, that evil thought that is against God into our minds, that dart, that little thought. And he wants to shoot it in there and hopes that we are going to dwell on it and think about it, and it's going to start growing something that's bad, something that's wrong, something that's against God. We need to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We know how in the before the flood there, how God says that he looked on the earth and what did he see? He saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Evil continually. Well, in their thoughts, they were just thinking up one evil thing, one thing after another that was against God. Jesus wants to give us power to bring every thought into captivity to obedience to him. And I love this picture in Ephesians 5, verse 25. Says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And this has dual meaning. It's talking about a husband caring for his wife. But it's also saying that Jesus, he wants a pure bride. He wants a bride that has a pure mind. He wants our thoughts to be pure thoughts. And he wants to wash our minds. He wants to renew our minds. He wants to wash them with the water of his word. He wants to use the pure word of God. As we read this, as we open up our lives to God's word, that we allow it to purify our minds and wash our minds. Wash the filth away. Clean it up. So it can be a clean vessel. If you want to take water to put on the table, you want a clean, pure vessel. You don't want something that has dirt in it. The same way with us. Jesus wants to cleanse us. He wants a clean vessel. And a vessel where he can look inside and say, yes, it's clean. It's ready. I can fill it up with living water and I can carry it over here and pour it out on someone. A clean vessel. Is that the picture of my mind? Is it a clean vessel? Ready to use. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the renewing of our mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. He wants to give us a new mind. A clean mind. In the battle in our thoughts. For me, it's helpful to say, if I find that there's wrong thoughts, what does God want me to think about? And it says here in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We need to, at times, just on purpose, think on good things. And you know, this is where the battle just gets, it's so real. Like this, you know, we are in a battle. And sometimes there's some temptation or there's a thought that Satan throws at us. We need to get serious about it and get up and go do something about it. You know, sometimes sitting there thinking about not thinking about the wrong thing doesn't get you anywhere. You got to get up and go do something. Do something profitable. On purpose, get up, go serve someone. On purpose, get up and go praise God. On purpose, get up and worship God. Somehow, we need to be serious about this battle and turn our minds to God and think on what's pure and what's good. And then, point five, it says, be ready to punish all disobedience. And the disobedience there means inattention. Be ready to punish that. I just get this picture that we are in, coming in a line with Jesus. We are agreeing with Jesus that, and we are going to be watchful and be ready to punish, be ready to get rid of, be ready to purge out anything that's against God, any disobedience in our life. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And to me, this picture is getting into a yoke with Jesus. And he's walking right here beside me in the yoke. And we're going to go to battle with Jesus, walking right here against anything that is disobedience to him. That's the picture I get. And he says it's not a heavy yoke. We're in the yoke, but it's not a heavy yoke because he's right with us. He's pulling the load with us. He's going to fight the battle with us. And we're going to overcome with him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to make us completely whole. I thought about how when Jesus healed people, did he just heal the one leg and they went away on, you know, we're going to heal one today? No, he made them whole. And the blind man came and he couldn't see and he went home with two good eyes. And the lame man went home with all his legs working right. He wants to make you completely whole. He wants to heal you today. He wants to deliver us today. He wants to change us today. He wants to help us overcome the battle and in our mind, in our heart today. Jesus prayed that God would not take us out of the world, but that he would keep us in the world and would sanctify us through the word of God. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are God and you have loved us so much to come down to this earth to die for us, to pay the price, be the perfect sacrifice, to cleanse us from all sin, and that through your resurrection power, we can have victory in our lives, that we can live lives that are pure and clean, and that we can have power to cast down, to pull down all the strongholds. Help us, Lord, to do this in our lives. Help us to live it out each day, and that we would remember we are in a battle, and that we would be strong and walk with you, and that we would call upon you every day. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.